morning. You're still listening to On the Air. I'm Glenn Coble, and I will be here for another hour, and then we go into Swap Shop. So make sure you get all the things that you want to advertise for Swap Shop. And the number here, you're welcome to call in and talk about any of these questions that I'm going to ask. The number here is 740-383-9944. And I was going to look up the name of that fire that went around my son's house. I'm sorry, I forgot to look it up. Maybe at the next break, next 15-minute breaks, I'll look that up, because that's kind of saving them right now in that there's no fire to, no wood to burn around the Ojai, California right now. It's pretty much all been burned. But anyway, we did have a very kind listener that was concerned about my son, and he's all right. He's all right. He and his wife and their puppy dogs, and they have a puppy dog and a little cat. And Oscar Wilde is the cat's name, and the puppy dog's name is, what the heck is the puppy dog's name? I forgot. That's really bad, because he likes me a lot and jumps up on my lap when we go out there. Anyway, so one of the things I thought maybe I'd do before we get to Swap Shop, because I'm going to do more trivia during Swap Shop, because the trivia, you can stop and go. If somebody calls in, I can stop the trivia without any trouble. But if I start a thought, you know, and my thoughts are so deep thoughts. If I stop my thought, it messes me all up. Being my age, if I stop a thought, it's gone. It's never coming back. Well, it might come back, but it'll be 2 days later. All right. Some of the things that my doggie and I sit down at, usually right around midnight, we sit there and we think about questions. And these questions are just things that I would like to answer. And I'm not sure I have the answer. One of the questions was, is being kind or compassionate a sign of weakness? Now, some people apparently think it is. I don't, but then I was brought up by a Methodist minister and his wife, who was terribly compassionate. I don't think I ever got spanked, come to think of it. I may have. I've often found that being compassionate or kind are probably stronger responses than being a tough guy. The tough guy, to me, evokes kind of fear of where you're going. If you don't do what I say, I'm going to beat you up. A lot of good that's going to do, right? So I find being compassionate or being kind to somebody is a lot stronger. It sounds soft, but it's really not soft at all. That's kind of where I came up with. My dog disagreed with me in some cases during when we were talking, but that one she agreed with me on, I think. this one we were thinking about having to do with corruption. We seem to have an awful lot of corruption in the world right now, and this question, I've never quite understood what it totally means, but it's used all the time. Do the ends justify the means? And I find that hard to go along with. I think if you do something corrupt so that you can get something that's decent for yourself, your family, or something like that, I find that, hypocritical at best. But I think a lot of stuff that we do now in politics on both sides of the aisle, you'll hear them say, well, the ends justify the means. And I find that hard to go along with. Now, a lot of people do think that's the way life is. And maybe I'm being naive. You're always welcome to call in and say, yes, you're being naive, or no, you're being brilliant. The number is 740-383-9944. Okay, another question that we were thinking about recently. Is America looked on by the world as good, as a good and caring nation, or have we lost that to some degree? Or did we ever not have it, you know? We were referred to years and years and years ago as the Colossus of the North, which really doesn't sound like an endearing term, the Colossus of the North. A lot of people don't like the person that's on top of the hill. It's either out of jealousy, or maybe the person on top of the hill is not a very kind leader. There are a lot of problems with being at the top of the heap. It's tough to manage if you're at the top of the heap and you don't have inane or inside of you the ability to have empathy and concern for the people that are working for you or doing stuff for you. I've always found that the best people, the people I like to hang with, are the people that that treat the waitress very kindly. And I don't mean just give her a tip. I mean treat them with respect, like their value is as much as my value. They treat the janitor at a school function like he is very important, because they are. That was one of the thoughts we were talking about, my dog and I. Is America a good and caring nation? I'm not sure that most other countries would call us a caring nation. They might call us a good nation. We've tried to be good. And, you know, we have people from every other nation in our nation, making up our nation, and we should be caring of everybody, but for some reason or other, we haven't learned that lesson yet. Should communist Russia be considered a friendly nation now that they're no longer the Soviet Union? My answer to that was a resounding no. But there are people that, and I think you have to look at Russia. It's a reality. It's there. I think we have to not necessarily respect them as a nation, but we have to at least recognize them as a nation. Recognize that they tend to be usually one of our adversaries. All nations are adversaries of other nations. The song by John Lennon, Imagine, imagines that there are no nations, and wouldn't that be wonderful? That would be tough. There are always people that want to form a nation so that they can have the power, or so that they can get away from the power that somebody else has formed a nation to gain. Unfortunately, I think there's always going to be these power games where somebody is either running away from somebody else's power, or they're rebelling against somebody else's power, and that's always going to make for ill feelings, and unfortunately, it's made for war throughout our history. We have to get smarter than that. I'm not sure that we ever will, but I certainly would love to see the day that we were smarter than that. Are we so weak that we should succumb to this COVID-19 weariness? Not succumb to the disease, but succumb to the weariness to the point where we say, oh, I'm just tired of this. I'm just going to go out and have a party. Tick with the mask. I think that's a weakness. I have one time told a person in a grocery store, aren't you supposed to wear a mask? And I said it that way. I wasn't saying, put on your mask. I was saying, aren't you supposed to wear a mask in the store? And that person got really angry with me, even though there were signs that say they were supposed to. I'm absolutely certain it was a younger male. I'm absolutely certain he was basically saying, I'm too good for this, or I'm above this, or I'm not afraid of this. Well, you're not afraid. It's like my father used to say, there are no atheists in a foxhole. Now, I will argue with him on that note, but if that young man would have come down with COVID and was on his deathbed, I'm certain that he would rue the day that he said that sort of thing. Anyway, all right, got time enough for my one last one. Yeah, I've got a little bit of time. I've got about a minute and a half. If you think people will not work if they get government handout money, only believe that. Oh, basically, if you think, are you the type of person that thinks the only reason why people want, the extra $2,000 or whatever, do you think that they just want to be lazy? I personally believe, I tend to think highly of other people, or think much higher of other people than. I like to give people credit for being good people. And that's something that's hard to do. It's hard for me to do. I'm constantly having to correct myself when I look askance at somebody because they're doing something that I don't do. Anyway, I hope that people are good people. I believe they are good people, and I hope we can give them credit. We're going to be back after about 2 minutes. Talk to you then.
Ted, did you know President Warren G. Harding was from Marion, Ohio?
Yes, I did. I passed by his home on the way to the station today, but he wasn't home.
Well, Ted, he's been dead for quite some time.
That doesn't excuse bad manner. He could have left a bundt cake. They get better with age.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
Hey, we're back here. I'm Glenn Coble. You're listening to On the Air on WWGH FM 107.1. And I'm just saying, kind of going over thoughts that I have. Every night I sit down, well, not every night, but many nights I sit there and I just try to pull my thoughts together so that, especially the nights before I do shows, I like to write them down, put them in my phone, and it kind of stimulates me to think, which is something I'm always telling you to do, but sometimes I forget to do it myself. But one of the nights I was sitting there, and the word ignorance came plunging into my head. And I kind of tried to do a really short analysis of ignorance and why we tend to be so ignorant. I think quite often we want to be ignorant of things. You know, it's a lot easier to live if your view of life is not cluttered with facts, real facts, scientific facts. Right now we're struggling with facts, and we're struggling with science. We've got to get back. I believe we need to get back to a day where science is science, and it's not fake science. There are so many. Oh, what's the word for it? There are so many tales that are rolling around in our, especially in the American civilization right now. Things that are absolutely not true. Things that no scientific person would ever believe. Do you know there are still people that believe that the Earth is flat? I'm not sure that that's a fact. It might be in some really out spot, you know, out in, I don't know, the darkest parts of Asia or Africa or something like that. I hope there aren't any people in the United States that still believe the Earth is flat. But who knows? All right. Ignorance seems to be the type of thing that separates us. We use ignorance to separate us. Many of our politicians, they know that you can't be an expert in every policy, an expert in every thought of government. So they tell you what they want you to believe, they try to keep you ignorant. We have a president right now that supposedly has told in the neighborhood of 20,000 lies in the 4 years that he's been in office. Now, I know there are people that say that's not true. And I'll give you that. Okay. Maybe it isn't true. I believe he does have a weak relationship with honesty. I've actually heard him say things that were not true many times, and then profess that things that we know are not true are true, and I think he convinces a lot of people that they are true because the president says they're true. And I don't believe you should, as a smart American, you should never believe, whether it's a Republican or a Democratic president, you should never believe it's true because the president says it's true. We already know that presidents throughout history have told little fibs, right? Even George Washington told some fibs. Even Abraham Lincoln told some fibs. I think ignorance does separate us, and it's used to separate us. And if they separate us, ignorance allows hate to creep in. You know, if you all of a sudden start to see the other guy on the other team, your competitive urges get into you, and you start to hate that other person. Now, we should not. We should find a way to avoid hating those other people. I struggle with it all the time. I keep people on my Facebook from both sides of the aisle. Now, I must admit, recently I've gotten rid of some that I just found have gone way too far in their ignorance, and I've defriended them. But I try to keep people from both sides of the aisle on my Facebook to keep me grounded, to keep me looking at things. Like last night after the debates were over, I went over and watched Fox News for a while. I didn't watch it very long. I really struggled with what they were saying. But I did watch it, and I tried to understand why they would say what they were saying. I didn't understand, but I did try. And I think that's not a bad thing. And I don't hate those people. They're just doing their job. I'm just trying to, I would like to see people get some courage and try to speak up for honesty. I can't imagine some of the things that they say they don't know are not quite the truth. Okay. And if it's not quite the truth, then it's a lie. I'm kind of a either or type person. All right. Ignorance allows for alternative facts. That's right along that line there. You remember, what was her name? Kellyanne Conway? Yeah. Who now apparently has been tested positive for COVID. And I don't wish that on anybody. I can't imagine going through it. But I think she was the one that started coined the phrase alternative facts, wasn't she? I think so. I think I recall the interview where she said it, and the newsman was nonplussed, as my mother used to say. He had no idea what to make of somebody calling something an alternative fact. It's either a fact or it's not a fact. And you could see it in his eyes. What is she talking about? Ignorance fights progress. Now, there are a lot of people in this world that don't like progress. They're called reactionaries. They're people that want to go back, that go back to the good old days. And believe me, I lived in the good old days. At 74, I've seen a lot of the good old days, and they weren't good. There were old days, and there were good days. But not all old days are good days, and not all good days are old days. We have wonderful days right now, and we have wonderful days back in the 50s, but we also have terrible times at both. And that's one of the things I'm struggling with right now, is keeping a positive attitude about our country and about the people that are leading our country right now. I really struggle with that. Let's see. I'm looking up some. I did have a section. Here's the section. One night I sat down and really tried to go over what the world phrase defund the police would meant. And I never did understand what defund the police means. It means different things to different people, much like Black Lives Matter mean different things to different people. But I thought we needed police reform. I still do think that we need police reform. And one of the things I think we could do, I'd like to see us psychological profiles of new officers and focus on their desire to serve and serve. You know, the focus on their desire to be a servicing. You know, they claim they're here to serve and defend. It really has gotten to the point that they're really here to defend and, oh, by the way, serve, it seems like. Now, I know that there are a lot of great cops that really are in the business as a public service. But there are also an awful lot that, the gung-ho cop who wants to make sure you know he's got his gun loaded and he makes it real obvious how tough he is. That's the type of cop I think we need to worry about. I'd like to see all officers, start with no access to lethal force. I'd like to see, now it would cost us more money, and that's fine. I think we should spend more money on police forces. Defunding it is different than spending more or less money. Defunding is taking money out of services that the police are required to perform that they weren't initially intended to perform. I digress. I think it would be a good idea if we could make a rule that new police officers start with absolutely no access to lethal force. In other words, they couldn't have guns for the first, I don't know, three years? 1 year, 5 years, you decide. I really think it would help them get their head in the right place if they can't just pull out their gun and tell you to do something. If they have to think on their feet and explain why you have to do something. It might have saved an awful lot of lives recently. Several of the people that have been killed, especially the African-American people that have been killed recently, have been killed by police officers who are either new on the force or they were helped by other police officers who were new on the force and really didn't know how to deal with people in a kind way. I think it would be a good idea. And in England, the police officers did not have guns for years and years and years. And now they still don't have guns. There are police officers that do have guns, but a lot of them do not carry guns. It would enhance our community policing. And I believe community policing is the... Now, I'm becoming reactionary on this. I'm going back to the good old days when the cops would walk a beat rather than drive around in a car. And, it would be better for their hemorrhoids anyway if they'd walk the beat. But I'd like to see the first few years, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, whatever, without giving them guns. Now, maybe you graduated in the first... 2 years, first 3 years, they don't have a gun. In the first year, they don't have a gun. In the second year, they're given a taser if they need it. I would say that they should always have access to, a billy club, just because sometimes they need to break up a fight, and that might be the only way to do it. But maybe by the fifth year, after they've taken psychological tests and after they've done what is the disease you get from being stressed too much? Have a test to find out whether you're having problems with too much stress. Anyway, we're going to have to break away here, and so I'm going to let you think about that. Think about how long do you think should we give rookie cops guns with bullets? I think it's a very bad idea to give rookie cops live ammunition, give them lethal force. We'll be back.
Scott, when President Trump announced he was running for president, I called him an egotistical jerk.
Yes, I do remember that. Has your mind changed?
Well, no.
No?
See, you thought I meant that in a negative way. Rookie mistake.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
/180/111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak. I'd walk.
150/90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back. I'm Glenn Coble. You're listening to On the Air here on WWGH 107.1 on your FM dial. Do we still have dials? And I'd love to have you call in if you're interested in arguing with me, or if you're interested in giving us your thoughts about how we could make our police more effective, more empathetic, more correct. That sort of thing. I'm going over some thoughts that I had with my puppy dog one night, and they're not all right and they're not all wrong. They're just my thoughts. One other thought, we were talking about the lethal force, maybe holding off giving lethal force to a rookie cop and make him wait maybe a year or maybe 5 years, whatever is decided the safe amount of time. Maybe they can test into carrying lethal force. I'm not a big fan of lethal force. But anyway, I started having thoughts about the smaller departments. Maybe in the small, used to write for the newspaper down in southern Ohio, and we had a little tiny town, and they had one senior officer and two or three of his henchmen, and they all carried. They were all tough guys. I don't think any of them had more than a high school education, and that's fine. There are brilliant people that have nothing more than a high school education, but these gentlemen were not those brilliant people. And maybe in those smaller departments, you only allow one, you allow the head guy to have lethal force. I don't know. I'm just throwing stuff out there, throwing it against the wall, see what sticks. Maybe, and I think this is a good idea, I think having the new officers, let's say they don't have lethal force, they have a billy club, that's all they have. And they have to require that they walk a community beat for the first year or the first 3 years, whatever is decided. But have them walk a community beat. That way they start to hear what the people on the street are saying. This is only for, rookie cops. It's not for all of them. I understand. And it's going to cost more money because you're going to have more police officers. But I think it's an educational tool to require that rookie cops, at least for the first year, walk a beat with no lethal force. And walk the beat maybe for the first half a year with a senior officer that can explain to them what the right thing and the wrong thing to do in given situations are. Maybe the first year they walk with a mentor cop, and then maybe another year have them walk on their own. I don't know. These are all just ideas. Please don't think that I'm recommending them for anybody. I just want you to think. One of my biggest problems I have with our current political situation is that we stop thinking and we just want to fight against the other side for, whatever the other side says is wrong. which is a prime example of what's gone on now, whatever Obama did was wrong, and my personal opinion of that is he was far better as a leader than what we have right now. But that's just me, but you know that because my show on Wednesday is called A Progressive Life. And I've had people call up and say I was an idiot. And I understand. That they think that. Okay, so maybe we have the new officers walk the community beat for a period of time. Maybe make them walk. When they walk as an individual without a mentor, have it during the daylight hours and only as pairs at night. And I can kind of, I would be frightened if I was a rookie cop walking all by myself in the first year of working at night. That would be kind of scary. I'm kind of reticent to go out of my house at night without having lights on and stuff like that. All right. I think really we can repurpose the police department money, and I think that's what they mean by defund police departments. I think it means repurposing the money that you use for the police department. I think the police departments probably could use with more money. I really believe that. I'm not sure where we get it, but I think maybe we need it. But redirect some of that. We shouldn't have policemen having to be social workers. We shouldn't have policemen doing so many things that they do that should be done by other agencies. I sympathize with the policemen that are put in positions where They have no training to do what they're expected to do. And and when I think of training, I don't think of an 8-hour day once a year as training. I remember getting that type of training when I was working at a credit union on all the rules that were involved in checks. And I never remembered most of that stuff. I was lucky I didn't have to. I was the PR guy, so I didn't really have to. I remember some of it. Maybe we could repurpose police department money towards more of a social work things that they're required to do, and that's really not their bailiwick. Helping the homeless and the mentally ill patients. We've thrown so many of the mentally ill people out onto the street because we don't anymore have mental illness facilities, or we got rid of them for some reason or other. I'll have to go back and look that up, why we did that. Maybe it would help if we would repurpose some of that money. I really think that we should help police departments provide robust mental health support for the officers, especially after they've been out on the beat for 2 or 3 years. I can't imagine doing the job, first of all, especially if you're in a big city where there's lots of, I guess you'd call the word action going on, lots of conflict going on. The PTSD, which must be involved, a policeman walking a night beat, or driving one. How many times have we seen, like just recently, some guy walked up to a police car and blasted both of the policemen sitting in the front seat? That's got to make you a little mentally ill to have to deal with that type of pressure. I'd like to see us devise programs where we can help our police officers cope with that sort of thing. It's hard to blame a guy for getting mad at people when he's gotten to the point where he thinks everybody's mad at him. It really is hard. I think we should have significant pay adjustments upward. But with that, I think we should require a higher educational standard for all police at all levels. But I also believe that we should require that they take vacation. And I'm not sure how you do that, but it seems to me that if we could require that our police officers take 2 weeks or a month every year off, paid, of course, we would have a better police department. And I don't know what our police officers are allowed now, pretty much think that they're probably on call even when they're on vacation. It's got to be rough to be put in that position. And I'd like to see us get a little bit more empathetic to our police officers. I'm sure that 95 or better percent of our police officers want to protect and serve. We have a few that are bad. We should not. One of the problems I see with our police officers is that the police unions, and I'm a big union fan, but the police unions seem to protect the bad cop more than the good cop. And I don't know. I may be totally wrong on that. And I would hope if I'm totally wrong on that, somebody will give me a clue. It just seems to me every time I hear of police unions doing anything, it's not in the best. It's not in the community's interest. It's in the tougher rules interest, the make it tougher so we can beat them up. It just, I don't know. I'm probably completely wrong on that. I'm not an expert on that type of thing, and I don't really want to be. But I do know I want good police training. I want good police education, and I want good police people. We have a lot of really good ones. And, you know, I wave when I do my walk every day or 5 days a week. I see a lot of policemen, and I always wave at the local policemen. Yeah, I know that's kind of butt kissing, but I wave at them because I want them to know that I'm not out there. I'm not going to do so. I want them to know who I am so they don't suspect that I might be casing the neighborhood to rob somebody. So I wave at them. Most of the time, I would say 90% of the time, they wave back and everybody smiles and we're all happy. Like I said, most cops are good people. And I do know a lot of policemen. I've had a lot of friends who have been policemen. I know a few of them that I would like to get rid of as policemen because I think they have bad attitudes. But I don't have the control, and you do. You hire them. I'm one of you, so I guess I do have a little control. But I'm glad I'm not the mayor who has to make decisions like that, or the safety director, whoever makes the decision on that, because it would be a tough decision to make, especially since I'm sure it's not easy to find people that want to go out and lay their life on the line for somebody else. And I know that there are probably psychological profiles of people that are willing to do that. And quite often I would say that some of those people are questionable. What is their motivation? Do they really want to help, or do they want to lord over? I don't know. I was asked that. I was asked a question about that when I was running for office by a local police establishment. I was trying to get their endorsement, and I did not. And but they gave me the feeling that I shouldn't ask that type of question. Oh well, I'll be back after about 15 minutes here. I hope you have good 15 minutes.
You're listening to WWGH Radio LP Marion, Ohio.